Here's the first question. The 10th subject, the bhikkhus should reflect on from the chanting, Bapachitta apinha pachavekana pata, is the jnana-dasana, the clear sight. So I would like to ask the following. First, what is jnana-dasana? What level do we have to attain? Second, do we have to attain certain levels of Ariyachana to be able to achieve this jnana-dasana? Third, in case of someone who has been ordained for a long time but has not achieved the jnana-dasana, how one should tell their peer bhikkhus for one doesn't feel ashamed? Thank you very much, Longpo.
So this chant or that the monks do, it's the 10 subjects for frequent recollection by one who has gone forth. And so this is what renunciants should contemplate, reflect on all the time, every day. The different subjects is about one's sila, whether one's sila is good or not, that one is living, no longer living according to worldly aims and values, can one's spiritual friends criticize one's habits or what one's actions, also that one is living supported by the laity and also by the barami of the Buddha. So one should then reflect on one's actions. One reflects on the law of karma, that one's the owner of one's karma. One reflects that one will have to be parted from one's loved ones and loved things. And one should be content with solitude. In other words, one shouldn't be heedless in one's practice. And the 10th subject for recollection is about this jnana-dasana, which we can translate as seeing or knowing. And it's a special type of seeing that is clear. Jnana is knowing or insight, and it's a special knowledge, you could say, greater than other knowledges. So this is a special or more superior to all other types of knowing or knowledge. It's making one's mind to be above the world. And so this then would refer to the different levels of noble attainment, from Sotapatti Magga, Sotapatti Pala, the paths and fruits of Sotapanna, of Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahantship. So the least or the lowest level would then be Sotapatti Magga and Pala. So basically the attainment of being a noble one, being able to free oneself from the defilements to the highest level is being completely free from the defilements, being an arahant. So this seeing then is to that level, that clear seeing. But in terms of clear seeing and knowing, you know, there are maybe some who will not know and see clearly, but maybe say they can. And there are maybe some that have seen clearly but don't say anything. So in this subject for recollection, it says that one, at the end of one's life, will one feel ashamed when questioned by one's spiritual companions about having this clear seeing, clear knowing, or attainment? But who which one of your spiritual friends is going to ask you this. They may not know themselves or have that clear seeing. In the Buddha's time, it would have been different because the Buddha could say basically where or what attainment that being or monastic monk had attained to, or for the laity, what they had attained to as well. In the time of the Buddha, there would even be some arguments about these types of attainments, that the Buddha would said that this one lady was a woman was a Sotapanna, and the other monks questioned whether this could be possible because she was harming living beings or killing living beings. She had prepared weapons for a husband who was had the profession to kill animals, but she didn't have any intention to have the husband to kill. She was just doing her duty as a wife, and so she just did her duty mindfully, but with no intention to kill. And only an Arya, a noble being, could do that. A normal person would have thoughts of wanting their husband to kill more. So these types of attainments in this day and age is something that one should remind oneself and to know for oneself whether one has any attainments or not, because one will be unlikely to have a spiritual companion who will be able to ask this question to you. And so you have to know then for yourself and remind yourself.
Hi, Longpo. Thank you for the Dhamma talks. I have two questions. Number one way to deal with fear is to recollect that I'm the disciple of the Buddha. However, we also learn that the sense of identity is non-self. How can I recollect this way when identity is non-self? Number two. I find myself getting easily affected by praises and blames. My sense of self can be strong, and I wish to learn how to be less affected by praises and blames. Thank you, Longpo, for your kindness and wisdom.
So the first part of the question, how to let go of that fear, overcome that fear. So think of that you're a disciple of the Buddha. Think of the virtues of the Buddha, which you can think Butoh, 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 do it a lot, repeat it internally a lot. So your question. You're saying that you've learned that it's not about not self. There is no sense of self or no self. You've read it. What you mean by learn means you've read it, you have heard it, you have thought about it, and you can understand it, that everything has no self or is non-self, that is a correct statement. Not that it isn't a self, and now you have this question, this thought that you've asked. If our mind has this knowing, a true knowing, then we would see everything as being not a self, as being anatta, as being emptiness, or seeing in all things are emptiness. So then, if you've learnt it and you truly know that, then there would be no fear, and then there would be nothing to do. So your question is actually a bit strange, because you're saying that you have fear, but there's no self. But if you truly knew that it was all anatta, not self, then there wouldn't be any fear. There would be no I, no them, no fear. Because you have fear, it means that it's there because of atta. You see it as a self, as an I, as a me. It's me who's scared. There's something I'm scared of, whether it's a object or an animal, an elephant, a tiger, a snake, someone outside, a human person. You're scared of dying. You're scared of these four elements of the body breaking apart, decaying, and dying. And so you have that fear because it is I, it is a self. There's not yet wisdom there to know anatta, to know not self. And so it's all taken as atta, as a self, as a me, as a mine. And so you've learnt it, but you don't yet know it. And so then it's the mind attaches to it fully. And so the Buddha then said, if there's fear, to think of him, to think of the Buddha. And then if there is fear, then you have to try to overcome it. Then you try to go against it, work at it every day. If fear comes up and you're not able to handle it, then you need to maybe retreat back to your dwelling place. If it's for the monks, and they will get back into their grot, their mosquito umbrella net. If it's a layperson, then their dwelling, and train the mind to make it peaceful. Get the body and the mind to be in a very buoyant and light state, be able to contemplate into emptiness, seeing all things as being empty, and then you can win over your defilement in this way. Then you would go back. If the mind is like that, then has that type of seeing and peacefulness there, then you can go back to that place where you were scared, and you'll see that there's actually nothing really there. Even you could be surrounded by bones and you wouldn't be scared. Before you might have been scared, but that was just because the mind was deluded. But if you see clearly, then there won't be any fear because you'll have seen into anatta, not self. But in the beginning, you have a sense of self. So you need to think of the Buddha, think of his virtues. Why do you do this? Because this is a method to bring the mind to peace. So you first may attach to it all first, but you attach to the Buddha and the method to bring peace. Then, when wisdom arises, then that fear will subside. Second part of the question. If you have liking, disliking, satisfaction, dissatisfaction, when you receive praise and blame, then you teach the mind. Teach the mind, oh, that isn't a sure thing, that's impermanent. You have liking or disliking, teach the mind, it isn't a self. Have mindfulness to teach the mind. It's liking or disliking, they're both impermanent. And if you're not able to do that, the mind's not strong enough, you could say, to do that, then be able to accept the state of the mind and be able to endure it. And work on developing your mindfulness and developing your samadhi. When that improves, then your wisdom will improve and you'll be able to reduce that sense of self over it. And if you can reduce the sense of self, then the liking and disliking, satisfaction, dissatisfaction will reduce with that, and the mind will be more in an equanimous state.